Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Nice to have you here. What a beautiful day, huh? Doesn't get any better than that. I've never seen so much enthusiasm in the fellowship hall as I have this morning. Those of you who brought your pictures in. Oh, yeah. Who brought your pictures in? It's fun seeing how everybody looks. I wish we would have had our spirit. Our spirits are so alive now. I wish we would have had this kind of spirit and wisdom and maturity in those bodies. Wouldn't that have been something? We could have really changed the world. I am pleased as punch with this congregation. I got a letter this week I want to share with you. Our annual meeting next week, one service at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock the meeting. At the end of our last fiscal year in August, we distributed a lot of our benevolence funds. This is a letter of thanks we got for one of our distributions. This letter is to express our thanks to you and all the folks at Bethesda Lutheran Church for your monetary gift of $1,055.86, which was received in our office today. As in the past many years, this money is put into an account we refer to here as the Veggie Fund, which is used to assist residents of Aiken County. I want you to know that these funds have assisted many, many people in a variety of ways over the years and have also provided us with a source of monetary assistance for people that otherwise would fall through the cracks with nowhere else to turn. I want to share a few examples of the ways we have been able to assist our residents the past few years. Many, many times we have assisted people in the purchase of groceries. We have assisted with the purchase of gasoline to get folks to doctor's appointments, or to the grocery store and home when they didn't know where their next meal would come from or how they would get back home. We have assisted with the purchase of diapers. We have assisted with the purchase of clothing items when special circumstances arise and the person may be starting a job and needs specific clothing for the position. We have helped with lodging when a family is displaced due to a home fire. Many of the people shed tears of appreciation when we are able to help them get through a rough time in their life. All the requests for these funds come through a social worker or a financial worker who is familiar with the family situation and supports the need for the appropriate use of these funds. I want you to know we truly appreciate the help these funds have provided. We too call this fund here at the agency the Veggie Fund, and all the staff and recipients are made aware of this generous donation Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo has made. Thanks so much. Signed, Julie Lewick, Office Support Specialist. So, Veggie Stand and congregation, thank you. Yeah, pretty special. If you haven't picked up your annual reports, they're in the narthex, so please do that. And again, next week, one worship service at 9 o'clock. Also, there's a few of you folks who have been coming to church for years but have never joined, so I cordially invite you to join us, okay? We received new members the last Sunday of the month. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we thank you for bringing us safely to the beginning of a new day. Thank you for the sun which lifts our spirits. Thank you for the pictures which reminds us of days when we were young and full of juice and ready to take on the world. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who taught us so many things. Allow us to immerse ourselves in his presence and in his teachings that we might, at the end of the day, find joy and meaning and purpose. Bless us with your spirit now and as we gather around your holy table. For the many blessings we give you, our thanks and praise. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn today is I Want Jesus to Walk with Me, 325. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Jesus, you walk with me.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trial, who does all things well. Amen. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness in life. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together, steadfast and saving God,
have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of the day. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy, selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Memory of his dad, Earl, and it's called Walk by Faith, and it's another Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The reading is from James. The wisdom God gives unites our hearts and minds. Instead of living to satisfy our own wants and desires, we manifest this wisdom in peace, gentleness, mercy, and impartiality toward others. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do you not come from your craving that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. But you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Today's psalm is Psalm 54. Please read the dark print responsibly, and where you see the R, read, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Save me, O God, by your name, in your might, defend my cause. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God.
Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life.
Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies. This ends the reading. Please stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the 9th chapter of St. Mark. Jesus' teaching and action in this text are directed to the church whenever it is seduced by the world's definition of greatness, prestige, power, influence, and money. The antidote to such a concern for greatness is servanthood. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Spirit of God, descend upon my heart."
Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Want to start a fight among some sportsmen? Sports people. All you have to ask is who's the greatest, who's the best. This weekend, football quarterbacks. I heard a discussion: who's better, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? And someone said, Brett Favre, and he's not even playing. Who's the greatest golfer? I hear stories, Randy, about golfer down there at Fiddlesticks and putting a few coins in, you know. And I see some people strutting around. Why is your face turning red, Dave? Who's the greatest golfer, you know? Who's the greatest basketball person? I just read about a guy who went to prison, armed robbery, 30 years. He said, give me 33. Judge says, why? Because Larry Bird's my favorite, and his number's 33. He went 33 years. Now he says, boy, I opened my big mouth. They stopped a war in Biafra in Nigeria so that they could escort Pelé, the greatest soccer player in the world, across. And then they started up the war again. NBA, Michael Jordan, probably the greatest player ever. They had a big campaign saying, be like Mike. Be like Mike. The Wild start, Tom. Wild start playing. First game tomorrow night. Last year in Calgary, one of the Edmonton Oilers was knocked on the head, had a concussion. When he came to, he didn't know who he was, and his coach said, his name is Wayne Gretzky. Gretzky's the greatest hockey player ever lived. Maybe he thought he would play like Gretzky. I don't know. But if you seek to be number one, you know, that's been around forever. This morning I heard Jim talking about how great the bass singer he was. It's been around forever. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, the drive to be recognized as the greatest even infected the Jesus disciples. Jesus and his disciples in our gospel lesson today are passing through northeastern Galilee. They're heading toward Capernaum. It's the first leg of their journey, final journey toward Jerusalem. And you know what happens in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be arrested and crucified. And he wants to spend time in his disciples' presence, giving them the final teachings. His public ministry is pretty much ended. Now he wants to prepare the disciples for what lay ahead. So they come to Capernaum. They'd been absent from there for a few months. Jesus had noted some bickering among his disciples on the road. And so when they get in the house, Jesus asked them, what are you arguing about? And they kept quiet because I think they were a little ashamed to admit that they had been arguing about among themselves of who was going to be greatest. Who's the greatest disciple? Matters of rank are important in any organization. So it's only natural for the disciples to be concerned about their status in the coming messianic kingdom. We talked about that a few weeks ago, how they thought Jesus was going to roll Rome out of town and that Israel would rise again to the top of the world. They were looking for positions in the government, I suppose. Maybe it was positions in the next kingdom, in heaven. Could be that. Anyway, we might think that those kinds of conversations would produce a migraine for the master, but they really didn't. At least this one didn't. Jesus, I think, understood those kinds of feelings amongst us. Huh? He understood that these drives are part of being human, part of who we are. These drives of wanting to be number one come from God? I think so. I think that's what Jesus is thinking here. And so the text says Jesus sits down. When you read the scriptures, and any time Jesus sits down, pay attention because this is an important teaching, okay? That's the position of a rabbi as he's about to teach. So Jesus sits down, gathers the 12 around, and he begins to teach them. And he says, if anyone wants to be first in God's kingdom, the best in God's kingdom, the highest position in God's kingdom, he must be willing to be the very last. He's got to be servant of all people. He's got to give of himself over and over and over again. That's what Jesus is saying here. And note this, Jesus didn't chastise them for wanting to be first. It's not a bad thing to want to be the best golfer out there on Tuesday morning, Dave. People say I shouldn't be pointing people out, but I enjoy it so much. anyway, Jesus isn't condemning anyone's desire to improve their position in life. This is a criticism that's been aimed at Christianity, that we counsel the poor and the oppressed to be content with their station in life. But that's a misunderstanding of the Christian faith. We've attributed that to Jesus, and that's not right. Jesus understands we need some ambition in our life to rise above what's happening in life. Notice how this verse reads. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." In other words, Jesus is not saying to his disciples that it's wrong to be the greatest. He's saying, if you want to be first, if you want to be great, if you want some meaning and purpose in your life, here's what you must do. You must be willing to serve. He's not condemning their ambition at all. Ambition is an impulse given to us by God to help us better our lives. Would that we were all this ambitious, huh? A person with no ambition is a drag on society. You know, we've got Republicans and Democrats in this congregation and lots of independents. Sometimes someone would say, "Oh, you really got the Republicans today." Sometimes I say, "You really got the Democrats today." This is across the board. This is across the board. A person with no ambition is a drag on society. We need people to give their heart and soul into projects and to try and make this world a better place. If you look at the title of the message today, I derived it from the theme song of a television show in the 70s, 80s. Many of you might remember the Jeffersons. I recall how the theme song went. It was sung by a gal named Jeanette Dubois, accompanied by a gospel choir. Words were like something like this. We're moving on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up to the east side, we finally got a piece of the pie. Jefferson's was one of the longest-running sitcoms in the history of American television. The show focused on George and Louise Jefferson. They were an affluent African-American couple living in New York City. This show was one of the first to portray a successful black family. And who could argue with the idea that it's a good thing for African-Americans to see examples of success among their own people, even if it's in a sitcom? Life has been hard enough for people of color in our nation. You see, it's not against Christian values to achieve a comfortable lifestyle for your family. As long as attaining material success doesn't become a primary drive in your life, the number one thing in your life, Christ understands your drive to move up in life. That kind of drive is necessary to provide for yourself and those you love. There's an author, Steve May, tells about a working mother in the 1930s. By the name of Mildred Benson. She was a columnist for the Toledo Blade, Toledo, Ohio. Benson's husband was terminally ill, and so to help the family provide for our family, Benson devoted her spare time to following a dream that she'd had for many years. So under the pen name Carolyn Keaton, she began writing mysteries for young girls. You might remember the daughter, the character of those mysteries, Nancy Drew. Benson was surprised at the impact that this resourceful fictional character had on the lives of her readers. Many women around the world found inspiration and wanted to improve their lives because of Mildred Benson's writing about Nancy Drew. Some of you gals probably read a lot of Nancy Drew. Some of you guys might have read about Nancy Drew. There's no shame in being ambitious as long as you don't abuse other people in achieving your ambitions. As long as you balance your ambition with your love for God and love for your neighbor. Jesus is not condemning the disciples for their ambition. Nothing great in life is ever achieved without ambition, without enthusiasm. What Jesus is doing here is making a point that greatness in this kingdom is determined by service, by giving yourself over to a program, giving yourself to some project, and not status. Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you want to be first, here's what you must do. You must learn to serve others. Actually, Jesus is conducting one of history's first success seminars. Every business person in this room knows if you want to be number one in business, you better get a reputation for service. Thomas Watson Sr., founder of IBM, his three cores of values were excellent products and services, excellent customer service, and respect for the individual. Watson wanted IBM to be all about service. It's interesting how Jesus made this point. He sets a child down in the midst of the disciples. Now, children, they were the least and the lowest in society. They had absolutely no status. But he takes this child and says to him, you know, you want to be great. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And not only me, but he who sent me. It's important to know that both in Jewish and in Greco-Roman societies, children had absolutely no status. They were all adult-oriented, males in particular, cultures. So he takes this child and continues teaching. He says, if you welcome this baby, you're going to welcome me. He isn't concerned about titles, God isn't. He's not concerned about positions. He's not concerned about status. He doesn't care whether you're the CEO or the person pushing the broom. What qualifies you in his kingdom is a willingness to serve. In God's kingdom, greatness is servanthood. I hope as you look ahead to what remains of your life, that you'll determine to make this your legacy. Whatever else you leave behind, you seek to leave this world a better place because you've been here, and that happens through service. What kind of legacy will you leave? I'm not worried about you leaving behind a legacy of evil because all of you got good hearts. Will people be blessed because you've been here? Maybe that's the question. You know what the secret to great legacy is? It's service. It's giving yourself to your church and to your community and service to little children and young people and service to the poor and to the lonely and service to the elderly. I see they're pushing a new Lions program here. Their motto is, we serve. Last week, our church and everyone was invited to participate in some project that would make the world a better place. God's work, our hands. We serve as a congregation. A few years ago, there was a popular television show called The Weakest Link. Contestants were dismissed from the show with a humiliating phrase, "You're the weakest link. Goodbye." I remember that British accent that lady host had. Some of you, maybe a more uplifting contest would have been, why not be the strongest link in a lineage that'll change the world, huh? Some of you remember Dave Thomas, a founder of Wendy's, died in 2002. That's already 13 years ago. He did his advertising, became the face of Wendy's with his television commercials. Training and service was his number one. Dave Thomas was a remarkable success story. He was adopted as a child. He never graduated from high school. He said before he got his GED, he's got his MBA. The MBA stood for Mop Bucket Attitude, and you saw his pictures in his advertisings of him wearing the apron. He set the tone of being a servant, first and foremost. Jesus leaves a legacy of service for his followers, and he did it by wrapping a towel around his waist on the night in which he was betrayed, do you remember? And washed the disciples' feet. And he taught them to serve by his own example. The greatest of all, the servant of all. As great as Jesus was, he washed his disciples' dirty feet. So I suppose the question I'd have you think about today is, how are you doing while you're moving on up? Are you learning to serve? Philip Yancey wrote in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, he says, you can gauge the size of a ship that has passed out of sight by the huge wake it leaves behind. So what kind of wake will you leave behind? What kind of wake will I leave behind? Will the water ripple at all because we've been here? The word is service. Service to your church, service to your community, service to those who need it most. Are you moving on up? Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join together in singing our next hymn, 817. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. With confidence in God's compassion and generosity, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Gracious God, we pray for the church in its many expressions. Give it the gift of discernment to know what is needed and the humility to ask what is necessary. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for another year of harvests, for farmers, gardeners, farmers' markets, community gardens. Teach us to share the earth's abundance with all who are hungry. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the leaders of all nations. Take away selfish ambition, conflicts, and disputes, and guide leaders to work for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those affected by shortened daylight hours, for those who struggle with envy, for those who suffer from impulses that are at war within them. We pray for all those in any kind of need.
Today we lift up our friend Janine. She mourns the loss of Darwin. Give her strength, wisdom, and courage. Be with Dean and Linda, Ron and Carol. Be with Bill. Be with Carol Bipes. Be with their families. Grant them your strength. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for children in this congregation and community. Give them compassionate and patient families, caregivers, mentors, teachers, and friends. Assure them that Jesus is always with them and loves them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, there's a young couple who have lost their baby this week. Comfort Christy and Ryan. We pray you'll be with our families. We give thanks for all the saints and all those who have seasoned our lives with faith. Preserve us in faith till we join them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at God's holy table, ever mindful of his presence in our life. Today he reminds us that the greatest of all is servant of all. At his last meal with his disciples and family and friends, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. You are washed clean as you drink it. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you are gluten intolerant, please ask for that. We have bread appropriate. Today we will use intinction, so please dip in the wine or the grape juice. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. Thanks. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go around our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant and Lord. Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 439, soon and very soon.